Happy Friday, Juicy Geniuses. It's Alex and Leanne, and we are here again with, as you guessed it, another amazing, amazing woman. We have Shay Curry on the line with us today, and Shay is an actress, singer, dancer, reality TV show star from the hit show Project Accessory, and she is a jewelry designer. So Shay was actually first cast in a production at the age of 9 for her singing, dancing, and acting. She lived in Manhattan for a short period of time where she pursued a Bachelor of Fine Arts and continued with her acting career, where she was actually cast in productions both on Broadway and off Broadway. She actually toured with Showboat, performing 8 shows a week, and absolutely loved it. She said there was nothing like the rush of performing every night in front of a packed house, but the lifestyle was very draining, and she decided to try something new. She moved to LA to pursue her acting career further, and wasn't long before she was cast in her first movie, The Princess Diaries 2, The Royal Engagement. And it was on this set, actually, that she became very passionate about designing and making jewelry. So she actually went and made a unique piece of jewelry for every female member of the cast and crew, and actually designed her own pink wedding dress, bridal jewelry, and bridesmaids jewelry, which was actually featured in InStyle Weddings magazine. And that's really when she went, okay, I think what I'm doing is great. I think I can turn this into a business. So she went from handmaking each piece to really learning every aspect of the whole process of designing jewelry. And her work has gone into her line called Shameless Jewelry. Her pieces make a statement for the women who want to stand out in the crowd. And Shay has been inspired by the beautiful, confident women in her life, as well as the organic beauty of nature. Her jewelry has also been seen for clientele including Fergie, Neve Campbell, Sophia Monk, Lucy Hale, and Lo Bosworth. So this is a total juicy genius, and she's going to talk all about her journey from becoming an actress, singer, dancer, into making jewelry and building her Shameless Jewelry line business. So there's a lot of exciting things that we're going to talk about on the call today. And Shay, I just want to welcome you to the call.
Thank you, lady, for having me.
Yeah, we're very, very excited to connect with you today. And when we were talking before, like, there's definite similarities, and you have a lot of valuable insight and wisdom to share with our Juicy Genius community. Both Alex and I are dancers, and we love Broadway, and we love jewelry, so we were attracted to you to begin with right away, and we know that there's so much more than meets the eye and what lays behind your story. So why don't we get started, and why don't you just take a couple of minutes and really tell us, how did you end up where you are today?
Wow. Well, let's see. I grew up in southern Mississippi. All my family lives down there, and I was really fortunate. My parents exposed me to the arts at a really young age, and so I started dancing when I was 3 and vocally training when I was 9 in an opera and musical theater, and then just started doing musical theater all throughout my youth, and ended up going to college in New York City, which was amazing, and pursuing a BFA in acting there and a minor in musical theater. And then went from there to doing Broadway, off-Broadway, tours, lived all over the U.S. and in Canada, and then came to New York and started doing film and television. And on the set of Princess Diaries, to the Royal Engagement, with filmmaking, there's a lot of hurry up and wait. So you spend a lot of time sitting in your trailer. And I just started hand-making jewelry, keep myself occupied after the multitude of magazines and books I had gone through, and ended up, like you said, making all the female cast and crew members a unique piece of jewelry. And then the hobby became a business. And it didn't really, I didn't think of it as a business until 2008, when the writer's strike happened here in LA, and there's no work, nothing to audition for. And while I had a lot of friends who were freaking out about that, I said, I need to focus on something that I still love, that's still creative, that I might do as a business in case this whole acting thing doesn't work out. And so I really started to dive into learning about every aspect of jewelry making and, more importantly, jewelry manufacturing, which was a whole educational experience, like going back to school again, you know, went to different factories in Rhode Island, Los Angeles, and basically learned everything that I could possibly learn about the whole passing process, making models and molds, production, the different types of metals, the different shrinkage of metals. I mean, literally, like, going back to school. And then my whole business just, you know, slowly started to take off. Any new business owner and new type of business, there are definitely learning curves, and I definitely made quite a few mistakes and quite a few financial mistakes. But I sort of chalk it up to a tuition going back to school. And then I guess last year I heard that they were auditioning for Project Accessory. I had a friend sort of twist and say, you should go and audition for this. So I auditioned for it and made it past the first round and made it past the second round and then passed the psychological evaluation and then did a reality show, which was a whole thing experience. But what was so amazing from that was the best free PR that I could have possibly done for my company and my business, and my company's taken off even more since then, and I'm still, like, it's interesting you guys call me today and have all these orders that have to get shipped out within the next 5 days, and I'm sort of freaking out. I don't have enough help, so that has been another part of the entrepreneurial learning curve, is hiring people. I do have an intern, and I do have a part-time assistant, but, you know, I've never run a company before, and I've never been somebody's boss, and that is now my new educational learning curve that I'm going through, because it's weird. I'm used to people telling me what to do, especially, you know, when I'm on a set. Now that the tables have sort of turned running my own business, that has been a very interesting aspect, but I love where my company is going and the possibilities, and it's exciting and it's also terrifying. I actually said to a girlfriend of mine last night in dance class, she looked at me and she said, you seem a little frazzled, and I said, I'm not really sure if I knew exactly what I was getting into. Because I need about 10 people working for me right now, and I can barely manage the two that I have. But you know what? I look at it as an exciting challenge, and every day I'm learning more and more. And I love having my own business, and I'm very proud of what I'm doing. And I'm as terrifying as it can be some days with, oh my gosh, I don't understand what all this compliancy stuff is with this particular department store. I say to myself, just keep reading the paperwork, you'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I'm doing.
Wow. Thank you so much for that, Shay. There are so many things that you said, and, you know, we were sitting here totally nodding our heads because, first of all, we totally are on the same page when it comes to getting our business off the ground. We run into those roadblocks where all of a sudden we look at each other and we ask, oh my God, what are we doing? Is this what we're supposed to be doing? Do we need more help? What's going on? And it's kind of this constant learning curve. And I love that you said you're just constantly educating yourself and you're looking at it as really another education and all of these degrees mm-hmm. layered on top of one another to really get to where you are today. And I think it's great that you decided that you were just going to dive in and learn every aspect of the business, and you were going to go to different factories and different producers and learn, you know, the different properties of metal and how that works. And I think that's so inspiring and can be quite intimidating for a lot of people when they're first starting off, especially when they want to turn their passion into a business. And listening to your story, it sounds to me like your stroke of juicy genius really came during a time where you're almost forced to think outside the whole, you know, acting yeah. world of, okay, you know, there's this writer's strike, chances of me getting work right now are really slim. How can I put my thought, energy, and attention into something that, you know, something else I love doing and turn that into a business, which I absolutely love, because that's a time when, like you said, many people would maybe be having a little bit of a pity party and yeah. kind of, you know, shrugging their shoulders and saying, well, I guess I'm just screwed, you know, and I think a lot of people in life, it's normal to face challenges and roadblocks, and it's really being creative with how to get around those that, you know, separates, you know, a normal individual from, let's say, a juicy genius. So thank you so much for sharing your story with us. I think it's very, very powerful.
I was reminded sometimes in life we think that, you know, you go to school and you get a degree, and we've kind of been told that, okay, well, this is what you study and this is the degree that you get, that this is what you have to focus your entire life on, and you can sometimes just beat your head, you know, up against a wall trying to make something happen that may happen sort of or not at all, or you find out, you know, maybe this really isn't your passion. And I think it's really important for people, and I think in particular women, to realize that we can constantly reinvent ourselves, and we can always go into other endeavors or other different passions, that just because we went to school and we got a degree in this particular thing, or our parents wanted us to major in this and we did that, that if you're not happy or you're seeing a shift in your life, whether it's professionally, looking at what's going on in the economy, where we're hurting for jobs, that you kind of have to definitely, like you said, look outside the box and, you know, look peripherally and see what else is out there that I love to do that could be exciting and fun, and just seriously take the challenge and fear comes to me. That really is where I find that there is great awakening. It's not running away from the fear, but just facing it and going, okay, I see you, I get you, all right, and I'm okay with this, and I'm going to win this little battle right here. And so, you know, I say to women, especially, you know, women who marry and are raising kids, and then, you know, they decide that they want to go and do something, that anything is possible, anything is possible.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I love that. It's so true. Constantly reinventing yourself is so key to really getting on the right track and following your passions, because passions change, you know, and passions does not equal degrees in what you study. Quite often it does, but quite often it doesn't. And so really stepping outside that comfort zone and being okay with that uncomfortable feeling and that unknown adventure that's coming your way, I think is so important. So you touched on this briefly, but you said it was terrifying to step into that unknown world and to really pursue a business in creating jewelry. And Leanne and I have both experienced that same fear of really letting go of what's comfortable, what's normal, and doing something that we truly love but isn't the most clear-cut or certain path. You know, what would you describe that journey being like? And how would you give advice to, let's say, other women who wanted to do something similar and step outside that comfort zone?
Well, I'm going to use a phrase called fake it till you make it, mm-hmm. and I'll explain it. You know, it's interesting when you think of accessories, we think of, you know, women buy accessories. So it was naturally my assumption that in the accessory business part of it and the manufacturing part of it, that, you know, I would be dealing with or running into women. Well, it's quite the opposite. So when I first dove into this and learning really like how every little piece of metal is made, I ran into men and men and men and more men and more men. And I didn't know what I was talking about. I couldn't even understand the vocabulary in which they were trying to explain these to me or ask me questions. So I decided one day that I was going to pretend like I knew what they were talking about and then in turn sort of flip it where I would ask them roundabout questions that would then answer the questions that I actually had, and then take copious notes as soon as I would leave the factory or their office, and then go home and go research everything. So then the next time I went back, I would have a better vocabulary and a better understanding. So literally fake it till you make it. And just, I didn't get frazzled, and I said to myself, I'm going to figure this out. And it took me probably a couple of years to really get to the point where I'm at right now, and it's kind of exciting now having an intern who's graduating as an accessory designer at FITM and taking her with me to the factories that I work out of and educating her on things that she's not learning in school. And she's like, wow, how do you know this? And I'm like, trial and error, honey, trial and error. Mm-hmm. I faked it till I made it and figured it out. And it's exciting now to teach a younger girl the learning curves that I had to learn on my own.
Definitely. Well, what I love what you said, Shay, fake it till you make it. And I think that a lot of people can relate to that because as an entrepreneur, you might be skilled at one thing, and that's designing jewelry, and you have a sharp eye, but you don't necessarily know all of the other workings that go into it. And this is the same across every industry. I think when you start your own business, there's obviously aspects of it that you kick ass at and you're great and you love it. And then there's other parts where it's like, okay, I'm not so familiar with that. The one thing I know with Alex and I, so it's like, yeah, okay, we know that we need a good accountant, and we know that we need to bring other people like that onto our team. And it's totally okay to recognize, like, this is not what we would call my J spot, or this is not the center that I'm the strongest in, but there's other people who are great. What I love about your story is that you actually went and you learned from these people. I mean, so you would take your notes, you go home, and you would study, and that shows sheer determination. And kudos to you for doing that. And it's great to hear your story. You didn't back down. It sounds like you were dealing with a lot of men, and who knows, maybe sometimes they had their attitude, like, what, they just know everything. So good for you for really getting up to speed and not being intimidated. And even if you were intimidated, you really pushed through that and pushed through your fears. And now another great thing that I absolutely love is that you have interns. And so you're sharing the knowledge and you're passing this along. So it's a great story. And I think that as all entrepreneurs, and even if you're not an entrepreneur, we all go through times of struggle. Maybe when we make decisions in our life, there's unsupportive people, there's negative energy. How have you dealt with unsupportive people in your life? And what are some tips that you can share with our community? Because it's definitely a reality.
I have had, in this journey, I've had people who have said to me, what are you doing? You don't know what you're doing. You're never going to make anything of this. Why are you wasting your time? And words would be incredibly hurtful to the point where I'd be like, hey, maybe you're right. But then I would get back in my car and I would bawl my eyes out and I would call a girlfriend and be like, am I crazy? Why am I doing this? And then crying is not a weakness, by the way. I think sometimes through purging, there's clarity that comes. Mm-hmm. And for me, when I've had people who've been so unsupportive and hurtful and just making me feel like I didn't have the brains to make this business what it is now, and I literally would just have my emotional purge, and then something in me just would be like, screw you, I'm going to prove you wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because now a couple of these people have now kind of come back and been like, wow, you're really doing this. Wow, I can't believe you're like selling to all these stores all over the country and in Canada and in Japan. And you have stuff in Neiman Marcus. Wait, what? And I'm like, yeah, I told you I was going to do it. I did it. And I just think, you know, here's the thing. Ultimately, when people say negative things or people aren't supportive, it's their own stuff that they're projecting on you. That's all it is. It has nothing to do with you. It's all their own insecurities. It's all their own self-doubt because they probably didn't do things that they wanted to do. They didn't follow their J-spot. And so they're projecting it on you. And if you sort of take out the personal aspect of it and just focus clearly on your vision and what you want to do, you'll be fine.
Yeah, well, and thank you so much for sharing that because, as we said, there are a lot of people who cross our paths and they don't necessarily agree with what you're doing or they don't believe you can do it. And I think that it's really, really important for everyone to remember to really surround themselves with positive people so that they do have that support network. So when the going gets tough, you can phone that girlfriend and you can purge. And so important to really surround ourselves with true blue friends and people who are there for you when you're at the top and when you're at the bottom and when you're going through those hard times. Something else that I really like that you said was when other people don't necessarily agree with your vision or they're maybe, you know, cutting it down, it's often them projecting their own insecurities. I think that in life, when people get successful, it actually will rattle something within somebody else. And like you said, it's because they haven't found their J-spot or they're not following their passions. So they're actually unhappy with their current situation. And without even knowing it, they'll project onto somebody else who is following their dream, and they're rocking it and they're making it happen. So I think that's really good for everyone to remember, is really just take what others say with a grain of salt, know what you want, stay true to what you're passionate about, and go for it. Be determined, do the studying, recognize that when you start your own business, there is going to be an entrepreneurial learning curve, but that there's resources available for people. And with the internet nowadays, we're so lucky, we can do a Google search and find out a lot more. I can't even imagine what it would have been like years ago without Google.
Oh gosh, yeah, oh boy, I can't imagine.
Yeah, something else that you said that actually was very similar with the Juicy Genius interview that we shared last week was she said, don't be afraid to constantly reinvent yourself. You know, we have our whole lives to live. If you want to pursue jewelry right now, then go do jewelry. Who knows, maybe in a couple of years you're going to want to get into a fashion line or whatnot. So I think that's a really, really good lesson for people to remember. You don't need to do what you studied in school. You don't need to do what your parents wanted you to do. You can do what you want to do. And if that changes over time, that's completely okay.
So, absolutely.
So thank you so much for sharing all of this juicy wisdom with us. We really, really appreciated it.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many little nuggets of wisdom I got from that little short interview. I wish we could keep talking and talking and talking, because I know you have so much amazing advice to share. But why don't we do this? Why don't you share with our community where people can go to find out more about you and more about your jewelry line, and anywhere that, you know, people can reach you.
Okay. Well, they can go to shamelessjewelry.com. That's spelled just like it sounds, S-H-A-M-E-L-E-S-S, jewelry, J-E-W-E-L-R-Y.com. And there you can read more about me, what I do, and also see my 3 different collections that I have up there, and you can order stuff for yourself. Yeah, or you can Facebook me. I have a Facebook, which is Shameless Jewelry on Facebook, as well as a Twitter, which is Shameless Jewel.
Perfect. Thank you so much for sharing that. And to everyone listening, we'll also link to those right below this video. So we'll wrap up for now. But Shay, thank you so much again for joining us on this Juicy Geniuses interview. And we look forward to meeting you in person and talking again sometime soon.
Definitely. And have a great day.
Thank you, ladies.
Okay, bye, Shay.
Bye.